joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, the Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go.
Commuter-sized Geek Tank, making your commute better, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So today we're going to be talking about books versus video, or movies, you know, movies or series that you would watch on cable or such.
Yeah. And just so you're aware, we're once again at Enchanted Grounds in Littleton, because these guys are awesome and they're willing to host us.
They're keeping us very caffeinated. I have the iced toddy is my choice of drink, I'm discovering.
Yeah, I went for their chocolate frappuccino. That was pretty good.
And you said it is better than that other place.
Yeah, that other place, the place with the funky mermaid.
Yep.
Yeah.
The mermaid with two tails.
Yeah. Makes you worry
that's
about
what
her.
That, yeah. It's she should have three eyes as well. So we were noticing how, you know, some book to videos are not so accurate. Some are, and some are better.
Right, and I've almost be willing to say that I've been observing that it's gotten better about that in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
This, we sort of started talking about this with Starship Troopers.
Yeah, a long time ago when Starship Troopers came out, we were discussing the differences.
Yeah.
And now I haven't finished the book yet, but in the first chapter alone, the main character is being dropped into a village, a city, actually, of the aliens, and going through, and it's a civilized race.
Yeah.
That has their own language, their own buildings, their own tech, and
I mean, they are bug-like, they're insect-like, but they're obviously intelligent.
Intelligent. And the troopers, Starship Troopers, if you will, are wearing powered suits of armor that they're just dropped from the ship into the city.
Right.
And that's what sets them apart, is they have these huge, impressive suits of war.
Right. They're battle suits.
And those things aren't in the movie, I noticed.
I was noticing that, too. And in fact, the guys in the movie, just you're lucky to have survived sort of thing. They're just sitting out there in armor.
Yes.
And it's like, well, there you go.
You and I both agree that if they just would have called the movie something different, it would have been great, as long as it had no connection to the book. They could have called it, like, Big Bugs Decapitate Space Marines.
Yeah. I would have even been... At the time, I felt that it was much better than Alien 3. So I would have been like, this would have been a better chapter of Alien 3, even if it wouldn't have been a very good addition
right.
to the franchise. But it would have been better if it was there, you know?
Right.
It was like,
Alien 3 was the one that was co-written by Joss Whedon, or was that 4?
That was 4.
4, okay. 3 was... 3 was the one where they had the different...
And the prisoner. They were all
right, and the aliens were taking, modding their shapes off of different animals, kind of. It was like dog aliens and stuff. Yeah, I didn't like that one.
Yeah. Although, that is part of the lore, is that the aliens will... Whatever was their host, they mimic.
To a degree, yeah.
To a degree.
It's the lore, but didn't like it. I just didn't
like it either. Anyway,
so next on the list that we have, we're starting off with our first... these obviously aren't all the books that were wrong or right. It's just ones that came to our minds as ones that affected us.
Yeah.
Another one that was very different than the movie that kind of got it wrong was A Clockwork Orange. And I've read that book several times and seen the movie several times. Now, the movie's great. The book is great. However, there's a few things that really just changed the concept. For instance, you haven't read the book. You've only seen the movie, right?
Right, that's correct.
So
and
the
it's been 20 years.
You
so.
Remember roughly the
idea. I remember
the
rough idea. That's
now,
right.
From what you remember, imagine the main character being 14 years old. That's the way it is in the book.
Yeah, okay, that
very,
does change the entire
very,
thing.
Very different situation going on there. Something else that was really cool in the book is all that language that they had created for it, which some of it was sort of weird, mixed up Russian. Some of it actually was Russian.
Yeah.
They have a glossary in the back, so you can look those words up. And that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
You could look it up and follow along.
Almost get your Russian lesson.
Yeah. The movie's fun. I liked it. And Kubrick, of course, is just a genius with a lot of the stuff he does. But they couldn't do the book the way the book was written, because that would have completely blown people away in a negative way, having this 14-year-old committing these crimes that you have Malcolm McDowell doing. Malcolm McDowell, awesome actor.
Yeah.
So that's another one they got wrong.
And on the Kubrick thing, it just occurred to me that, you know, it's not his first time around with book to movie conversion, because they've got other ones like 2001.
Now, that should be your field. You've probably...
Yeah, I've read the book, and I'm a big Clark fan.
So how's that compare, those two compare?
I find it interesting because the two of them are very different as to what they were after. Now, the big difference between the two, of course, is that in the book, the Discovery was sent to Saturn, and in the movie, it's sent to Jupiter.
Hmm.
And that is an interesting change. And
so
a lot of
being a NASA guy, what's the big difference in that? Why do you think they made that? What's
easier
the big difference?
To get pictures of Jupiter, I would guess.
Okay.
At the time, and we were talking about the late 60s.
So just so they could show it accurately in the movie.
Right.
Okay.
I know that there's probably a logic out there, and I may have even heard it at one point in time as to why they changed it. But a lot of the concentration of the movie was on a different aspect than the book was.
Those differences make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, some of them did, and some of them, you know, the thing that didn't make sense was, you know, it was all about the TMA-1. It was all about, that's the monolith on the moon, was TMA-1. And then, of course, the equivalent monolith that was out of Jupiter. And the way that the movie comes across is trying to, you know, play up the Hal going crazy thing and,
right.
and play up Hal trying to kill everybody so that they can make more of an action movie out of it. That really wasn't what 2001 was all about, and that's okay. I mean, I don't know. Reading the book is a fascinating, hard sci-fi, but again, how do you make that work?
So, right.
I mean, you can't. Sometimes the hard sci-fi is just better to read than it is to watch. It's not exciting to watch.
It's definitely at the time period when it was made, it was a different attitude, and it might be worse now because everyone's the target audience for a lot of stuff is the Fast and the Furious mode of movies, which
right.
they well, can't sit through hard science.
We've seen Star Trek evolve.
Oh, yeah. Star Trek, Fast and the Furious
yeah.
is essentially what the new ones
the
are.
The J.J. Abrams versions of Star Trek are definitely evolving into that. And mm-hmm. people, I mean, even when I discuss this with people nowadays, they're like, I tried watching the original series of Star Trek. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too slow.
Kids
too
these days.
Right. Clearly, we've got a much more spastic society now. Our entire culture is much more speedy. I mean, the reason people listen to podcasts now is because they can only find time to do this while they're driving,
while they're driving.
Or whatever.
It's
yeah.
the commuter size.
That's why we're commuter-sized.
Yeah, last one I'll mention for the Got It Wrong segment of what we're doing is The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
I enjoy the show to the point that I'm addicted enough to watch it as it happens, and I'm even going to watch the offshoot called Fear of the Walking Dead. They feels like they should have got a better title than that, but it is very different than the book. Lots of differences, characters that die in the show that don't die in the book. They added characters to the show that aren't in the book. They've dropped some characters, and it's the only graphic novel / comic book that I collect consistently. And the comic book very quickly gets to the drama is other people and not the zombies on a horrifying level. And they don't quite get there until this most recent season of The Walking Dead. And I think they're in fifth, sixth? I can't remember. They're way, way into it. But for the longest time on the TV show, the zombies were the big fear. And people kind of sucked. People were a horrible thing to have to deal with. But they weren't the worst thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the book gets there really quickly that people really suck and the zombies are more of a nuisance compared to the people.
Yeah.
So I guess it's time to take a break.
And we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Terry Farrell from Becker, Deep Space Nine, all kinds of fun stuff. And you're watching Geek Tank.
Okay, and we're back.
So our next segment, we are going to talk about books that either the movie was, there's too much book to put it into the movie, or there's not enough of the book to make into the movie type thing. And example would be Game of Thrones. There's a lot of book there that
Ooh,
they've
yeah.
left out of the show,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty amazing because now the show has surpassed where the books are.
Right.
And had they put in everything that's in the book, well, I don't know if that would have been as popular for as it has been. I think it would have been pretty popular because the people that like the books, a lot of their complaints are it's not like the books. But had they been following the books to a T, they would still be making that seasons and not be past the books yet.
Right. Now, I guess the real question that I would have, of course, is if you're sitting there with a story like Game of Thrones and you know that your core audience, the people who are watching this, are going to be reading all the books, then you have that dilemma, and I think we have this with Walking Dead too, which is the, oh, good, this is the episode where Joe Smith dies.
Right.
You know, well, we know that that's going to happen. Well, where's the stress? Where's the drama?
What hooks you?
Yeah, what hooks you? What keeps you watching except, you know, blood definitely, and gore I would say and boobs
definitely,
and butts?
Definitely, I mean, more with The Walking Dead than with Game of Thrones. But Game of Thrones, I think one of their big problems, because they still, even with the watered-down version you see, or like I call it the Cliff Note version, you still get people complaining there's too many characters. And they've already cut out half of the characters that you would have in the book.
Yeah.
So if they would have included every character, imagine how quickly these people that are already having trouble following who's in what house and
yeah,
who did what to who with what.
Right. Right. Well, that's a definite large-scale fantasy problem. I mean, Jordan's got that. All of the different stories that have these massive 27 volume
yeah,
with a zillion characters. You know, so I mean, that's going to be true of any of those.
It reminds me of Twin Peaks. When Twin Peaks hit its second season, they had a magazine called Wrapped in Plastic, which if you follow Twin Peaks, you get the joke of why it's called Wrapped in Plastic. And it had a family tree type diagram of who was who in the show and how they were related to the other characters.
And who killed Laura Palmer.
And who killed Laura Palmer. There wasn't nearly as many characters in that as there are in Game of Thrones. Mm. So,
well, and that may bring us to another evolution of the audience.
Yep.
Which is, we've got an audience now that is more sophisticated. Even though they're taking things in Twitch format, they're still much more sophisticated. They can handle now 100 characters. They can handle, I mean, maybe not, but I remember, you know, in the 80s, they treated us like children, I mean, effectively, compared to nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
In the way the shows are running today versus the, and I mean, you look at the evolution of our comic book heroes and the evolution of the characters through the time. I mean, you know, Superman in his different iterations from even the 1979 movie. I love Christopher Reeve's version of Superman, but you've got to admit the newer ones are completely different.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even the same drastically critter.
Different. A lot of Superman fans complained about the end of the last Superman movie.
Yeah. And Batman's doing the same thing. I mean, Batman's definitely, I mean, he's an evolved character, but much more deep. We hit a point almost like, I keep wanting to say, it's that point where Frank Miller got in there and started messing with stuff. And I mean that in a positive, happy way. I don't mean that in a negative way at all.
Right.
I think Frank Miller was a linchpin to moving us around. Comics changed, our movies changed, things started to change because, and that leads us to,
well, we have
other things we'll talk about in the next segment.
Yes. So something that we brought up, you've read all the Hunger Games books.
Yes.
And you've seen what movies there are.
Yes.
And so far you said they've been doing a good job with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem is they've decided to split the last book into two movies. Whereas the first and the second book were their own movies.
Right, and Mariah hates that.
Mariah being your wife.
My wife, yeah. And the Book of the Geek Girl.
And the Book of the Geek. And the question becomes, was it necessary to split it into two?
Right.
And you've read it.
I've read it. I don't know. So with Hunger Games, the first two books were page-turners.
Mm-hmm.
What's so wild about the first book is, you know, the Hunger Games. You want to know what happened to all of these people. Okay, well, that's cool. Then you get to the second book, and it's the same formula, but they've managed to twist it like 30 degrees out so that it's different again, you know, and it's...
And then they did that with The Hobbit, which was one book, but they added...
So now I'm looking, you know, when we talk about the third book...
Oh.
The third book, then, is, you know, it was slow. It was slow and ponderous compared to the first two. And so my question really was, why did they break that one up? I mean, it was slow enough as was.
So it would have actually more than likely benefited making a one movie.
Making a one movie.
So with The Hobbit, which was one book, they turned it into three movies. And I know that they added scenes from... The
Silmarillion?
That's the one I was trying to think of. And I haven't read that one. I've read The Hobbit. And so the scenes that I didn't recognize from out of the book, I can only assume came from
that.
We're
in the Silmarillion, yeah.
And it's...
And there you go. That's another one of those...
The question becomes,
was that his intention?
I enjoyed all three movies.
Right.
As one whole movie. And I guess it worked. Whereas if you look at Lord of the Rings, which was three books and then three movies, well, obviously it was like that, so it made sense. But the question becomes, is it necessary to split them that up that much, or could they have just gotten away with one 2.5 hour, one 3 hour movie?
Right. And that does kind of make you wonder about, you know, I mean, these were long movies to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Now,
Harry Potter.
They left a lot out of the books. I've not read the books. I've seen the movies.
I've read the books and seen the movies.
I've had to have my wife, who has read the books, with me when I saw the movies to explain things. For instance, when the Patronus shows up in the first
Patronus.
Movie. Patronus shows up in the first. I must be thinking of the booze. When the Patronus shows up in the first movie, I had no idea what that was. I'm like, why is Princess Mononoke bleeding over into this movie now? Because now we have the spirit animal coming from the forest.
Woohoo, spirit animals.
And she had to explain to me, oh, well, that's everybody has their own animal, and that's his manifesting, blah, 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 blah. And when we got to the end of the very last movie, and we had the stuff happening with Snape, as the credits were rolling, I was sitting there in shock, and I said, I can't believe that they pulled that off for a kid's movie and had Snape as Harry Potter's father. And my wife was like, where did you get that from? And I listed off every clue, and someday we might have an episode where I do that.
Let's top all the clues.
Everything that led me to believe that they were saying he was Harry's father.
Right.
And part of it was having the same Patronus that his mom had. And I'm just thinking that meant that Harry Potter, there's a lot of other things there that meant it. And she's like, no. In the book, it's very, very clear that he's not the father. He just had a crush on his wife. Harry's mom.
His mom.
And I was disappointed because I really liked the ending that I had somehow created in my head from the clues.
You liked it better.
I liked it way better because it was much darker, and it really made him the hero of the show that way. And he was still really cool the other way around, but...
Yeah, but he made it kind of a more interesting...
And they left out the entire thing with Hermione trying to free all the house slaves of the goblins.
Yeah, the elves.
The elves. That's right. They look like goblins. They're called elves.
They're elves, yeah.
And I heard about that because my wife had read the book, and that was one of her disappointments in the movie where that happened. So they need to have Harry Potter and the scenes that weren't in the movies as another movie that comes out. And
yeah, actually, I completely agree. I've read all the books and seen all the movies.
They could get a... I don't know about this, but they could probably... Remember Young Indiana Jones?
Uh-huh.
Remember, I wonder if they would try doing a TV series of Harry Potter. They'd have to get all new
young
actors.
Harry Potter.
And just hit all these parts in the books that they missed.
That would be interesting.
You could watch it as like a companion to the movies.
Yeah, like a companion to the movies. Yeah. I agree.
I don't know. I don't have anything else for movies that were either too much or not enough compared to the books. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Dexter. Dexter, now, I only know about... I've seen all of the series, the TV show. I haven't read the books, but my brother, who has read the books, I asked him, should I read them? And he said, just the first one, if you're going to read them, don't read the others because they're drastically different. And I'm like, well, are they bad? And he said, well, the TV show is pretty much 100% realistic in its...
Criminology.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Whereas the second book takes a twist to where it turns supernatural.
Huh.
I know. It's like all of a sudden the reason Dexter's doing what he's doing is because he's, spoiler alert, possessed by a demon.
Well, there you go.
Not true in the TV show.
Yeah. Well, who would have thought?
Spoiler alert.
That's kind of weird. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
So, books, demons, TV show, no demons.
Hmm.
Still spoiler alert, I guess. I guess. Dexter's laboratory.
Dexter.
Yeah.
It's an interesting. And I'll bet you that's because Dexter is very CSI.
Yes.
And you really couldn't get away with demons in your main character in CSI's universe.
It would have put it in a whole other category than CSI.
It would have gone season 2 would have been X-Files.
Yep.
And that's a different left turn. And X-Files coming back is cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that. So, anyway, okay, well, we'll head off for one more break, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jules from Enchanted Grounds in Littleton at 3615 West Bowles Avenue, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
We're back. So we're going to talk about books that got it right, or movies and videos that got it right compared to the books.
Right. And the last thing we've got... are the ones that did it right.
That did it right, exactly. Yeah. And we threw in a couple that were better than the books, and this is where I probably should have thrown in Dexter, but you know Dexter's always jumping ahead of everybody else anyway.
Stupid Dexter.
So I'd like to start off with Sin City got it right, because the director, Robert Rodriguez, essentially used the graphic novel as his storyboard.
Right, right. So, that is actually...
Yeah.
And you can see it. I mean, it's like scene to scene with the book. It's
right.
Beautiful.
If you follow, watch that movie and you have the book and follow it along, you're like, wow, I totally see how they did that.
Yeah.
The only thing that they did it, it's not their fault because they were following the book. The narration, when you read it in the book, flows a lot better to me than it does than hearing a narration,
because
it's hearing narrated stuff is kind of corny.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
It was being true to the book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was very much like it.
That's cool. Yeah, and I agree with that.
Did you have any books that you felt, well, like 2001 you were saying was pretty close, right? Other than the change of the robot point.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call 2001 necessarily better or worse than the book.
Just different.
Almost different. 2010... I liked 2010 as the movie for an entirely different reason than I liked the book.
Mm.
I liked the book 2010 as a companion to 2001 and 2061, and all of those fit together as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time they hit the Roy Scheider movie, first of all, I love Roy Scheider.
Yeah.
And
Blue Thunder.
Yeah, Blue Thunder. I love Roy Scheider. We're going to need a bigger boat. On that movie, it was a different feel. It really felt like, to me, where we would be in a few years, you know, 2030, maybe 2040, where we would be in space. The Ulyanov felt real. You know, it felt like a very realistic movie. But it was a different movie. It wasn't the same at all as its book.
Right. Now, a couple of books that I really enjoyed, and I thought the movies got it done really well, was Manhunter and Silence of the Lambs. Most people don't know about Manhunter because they remade it.
For instance, I don't know about it.
Right. They remade it and called it Red Dragon, which the book was called Red Dragon, but the adaption of that was called Manhunter, and it was made by the same guy that did Miami Vice. So it had a very Miami Vice feel. And the main actor in CSI played the main detective in Manhunter. So he's typecast as the guy who investigates crimes and looks at crime scenes.
Gil? Grissom?
Grissom. Yeah, Gil Grissom. I forgot the actor's name because I saw
William Peterson.
There you go. William Peterson is in Manhunter. They changed a couple of things in the book. For instance, the ending, they made more Hollywood and more Miami Vice shootout fight type thing.
Right.
Which isn't quite the same in the book. And when I say not quite the same, I mean drastically different.
And by not quite the same, we mean completely
different. But they were both very, very good. And up until that point, a lot of the investigation and the getting into the character's mindset, as the first introduction of Hannibal Lecter, was in Manhunter, not played by the person everyone thinks of as Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs. Whose name is totally...
Anthony Hopkins.
There we go. I want to say Alec Guinness, which is totally
wrong.
You were
looking at me and I'm like going, oh no.
Luke, I killed all those people and ate them. Not Alec Guinness.
Your father
Anthony Hopkins.
Was
your
father a Jedi was... Knight and I had him with fava beans.
So yes, Anthony Hopkins was not in Manhunter. And the guy that played Hannibal wasn't a memorable role.
Right.
And in fact, he's not a memorable... Not as big of a key character in Manhunter as he is in Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
And, of course, Silence of the Lambs with Jodie Fisher was... No, I said Jodie Fisher.
You didn't mean Jodie Fisher.
I didn't mean Jodie Fisher.
And now that you said Jodie Fisher, I can't think of her name. Jodie.
No, Hopkins.
Jodie Hopkins.
No!
Jodie Guinness. That's it.
Jodie Foster.
That's it.
So I said Jodie Fisher because Foster and Fisher's close, and Carrie Fisher's in Star Wars, and Alec Guinness in Star Wars, and that's why my brain did all these weird rabbit holes. Jodie.
6 degrees to Anthony Hopkins.
Yes,
gotcha.
Got it. But she did an amazing job with Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, she
and
did.
And that book is very close to the movie as well.
Clarice.
It's great.
Yeah.
So, you have any other books to movies that you really like?
Well, we've got a couple of others down here that we can talk
more
about.
Well, there's one that I think
we were talking
better than the book.
Yeah, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Which was written in 1968. And Blade Runner, by the way, is tied for my favorite movie along with Cloud Atlas.
I like Cloud Atlas a lot.
Before I saw
is there a book to Cloud Atlas?
Yeah.
Did you read the book to Cloud Atlas?
But the book to Cloud Atlas goes from the very first, not the very first story, because the very first story in the movie is the last story. So, but it goes from the very earliest point in time to the very latest point in time, and then backwards. So you get to the middle of the book at the far point, and then go backwards. Whereas the movie jumps all around.
I liked Cloud Atlas when you showed me.
I loved it.
That was
in fact,
a good movie.
I had to see it a second time because I was like,
I have to see it a second time too because it didn't quite gel with me.
Right. And I'm like, I love this movie, but why do I love it? I needed to give it a fair shake. I had to watch it again. I'm like, yeah, I think this ties for my favorite movie. For the longest time, Blade Runner was hands down my favorite movie. Loved it. Sci-fi, noir. It was just great.
The imagery of Cloud Atlas is so strong that all I've got is images right now from Cloud Atlas. I don't really have a coherent anything. It's just images. But they're brilliant images. It's beautiful and very, very lovely, the images in my head. So.
Right. And in Blade Runner, the book, it's the thing I could think off the top of my head was it's just outdated in the way they were predicting the technology. For instance, in the room with Deckard, they have a mood enhancing device, which is very much like a rotary telephone, and you rotal dial the mood you want, and it enhances that mood for you. They don't get into any of that in the book. In the movie.
That's
from the book. The book is just really different. And
it's a different feel.
It's a very different feel. But they
updated the tech, and that makes it a completely different thing.
Right. The thing that you see more in the theatrical release version, because they changed the versions. You have like four different versions of it. The director's cut, the regular cut, the theatrical release, and I forget what they call the fourth one. But in one of the versions, they get more...
The machete order.
they get to the heart of what the book was getting to, which is, if you're a replicant and you're an artificial intelligence, first of all, do you know you are? And how much humanity's there? How much of a right do you have that's the same as humanity?
Right.
And they don't quite get there as much with the movie. They do get there with the whole scene with Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
We're throwing out so many names and we didn't write any of these down at all. So,
no, we didn't. And by the way, congratulations on remembering as many of these as we're pulling out.
Rutger Hauer's scene at the end of Blade Runner really sums up what's happening, and a chunk of that was improvised by him, and then they kept it, and it's just...
We should talk about improvised scenes someday, too.
Yeah.
Because there's some great... We've already mentioned two of them, because also We're Going to Need a Bigger Boat was improvised. So that's one of those little-known, scarcely talked about, but...
Yep.
Roy Scheider and his, We're Going to Need a Bigger Boat. That was totally an improvised line.
So I know you couldn't remember. I don't know if it's come back to you yet. You said there was recently a movie or a show that you thought was better than the movie.
But
it still hasn't come back to you yet.
No. Okay. I wish that I had. But I can't think of it. That's all right.
But definitely, they're out there.
They're out there. But I've got kind of a unique view to things because I'm an artist. I like the visuals. I like things that I can see. Mm-hmm. So books, though they'll generate these beautiful images in my head, sometimes your art director will sway me because what he or she has come up with is far more beautiful than what's in my head. On the same token, I get kind of a hit because I'll look at that and I'll be like, this doesn't look as pretty as what I saw in my head. When I read this story, this wasn't as pretty as that.
It was definitely one of the things that hit me with Game of Thrones, because I'd already seen a couple of episodes before I read the first book. So the characters that were introduced to me in the series were who I were envisioning when I read the book.
Right.
And the characters I hadn't seen yet were totally different in my head than what they had chosen.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of graphic novels. First, I'm going to say a word here that people may consider PG or PG-13. But I am saying the title of the book, when the title of the movie, was Kick-Ass. Now, they did change a couple of things to me that really changed the punch of it. The book had not a happy ending.
Right.
Whereas the movie tried to have a happy ending. And then...
it's another one of my pet peeves about American...
Yeah.
I got spoiled by anime.
Well, what happens is they test audience these movies... And
the audiences don't like it when it's bad.
No. In fact, Clerks has a totally different ending. Kevin Smith's Clerks has a totally different ending than it did have because the audience hated it. And it ended with the main, spoiler alert, character getting killed. They changed that because audiences hated that. And it's have you seen Clerks?
Yeah, a long time ago though.
One guy works in the convenience store. The other guy works in the video store.
Right.
A video store guy is like, "Hey, let's go hang out." And the other guy's like, "Yeah, let me just close up." And they're closing. He's closing up. A guy walks in, shoots him, takes the money, and leaves. The end.
That's my kind of ending.
Now, it was very true to life. That's how life and death happens. It sucks and it's sudden.
There's no rhyme or reason to it. No. You're right.
Wanted is another one where the movie is very different than the comic book. So,
well, we've got a lot of them like that. Even in anime, you get that too. I've often talked about Gundam, which is a series about giant robots. I read the novels, and the novels don't go the same place as the anime.
Hmm.
And, in fact, the novels end in a very Clerks-esque ending.
Is that any relation to Macross?
No.
No.
I mean, other than being giant robots.
Big giant robots. All those big giant robots, they look the same to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why you're... I've always called you a robotist.
I am a robotist. Yeah.
The fact that you just think they're all the same.
I do. If they're not...
Makes me cry.
If they're not humanoid, like Black Magic.
Yeah.
Or
M66. Is what he's talking about.
That's right.
M66. Which is called Black Magic M66, but that's a different anime. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, that's Gundam, which is this, they ran it, and the series clearly is going a different place than the novels. It's not uncommon in Japan during the 70s for a lot of these anime to come out of novels. Dirty Pair came out of novels, and that's, you know, a totally different thing. And but it was the same thing. The ending of the novels is totally different. Spoiler alert,
yep.
Amuro, the main character, is killed. Well, if you watch the series, he continues to go on forever and ever and ever, and they just keep bringing him back, and then they finally start doing different series. But
right.
Yeah, he didn't die in the end like he did in the books. I find that fascinating. So it's not. I sit here and tout Japanese animation for being depressing, but I think they also did the same things, because clearly they tested it, and the audiences are like, "Well, yeah, we would like to see Gundam, but we'd like to not have him die in the end."
Right.
You know.
Well, to end on, coming out soonish, not super soonish, but soonish, is going to be the Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
And they're saying they're going to base a lot of it off of Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns. I highly doubt it's going to translate well. I love that series. But there's a lot of stuff that happens in that book that they have not set up yet. When that book was written, Russia was our threat, and we were concerned about nuclear war. And that's not quite the case now, so I don't know if they're going to copy that from the book or try to update it to where it's a Middle Eastern terrorist group that's the big threat, or how they're going to do it. But I'm going to give it a chance. I'll go see it. But I think I'm going to have to divorce any knowledge from The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller when I see the movie. Otherwise, I'll just constantly be comparing it.
You're saying you're going to divorce Frank Miller?
Yeah. Probably my wife has been insisting on it for a while.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you can only have one of them.
Yeah. Well,
we'll have to revisit that at some point, I guess.
I hope this has been interesting. It's one of those... You know, when we talk about it, it's interesting to us, but then I have no clue if people are like, "Man, I hate these guys. I'm going to hunt them down and beat them with a wet Frank Miller book."
Yeah, or how many fatalities we just had by people falling asleep in their morning commute.
Exactly. It's worse than listening to Inya.
It's true. Sailing away, sailing away, away, away. Anyway. Luay, sail away, sail away.
Don't put them to sleep. That's fine.
Anyway. Okay, well, that's our Geek Tank for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank. Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Please give appropriate credit, provide a link to us, and indicate if changes were made. You may do so in any reasonable manner, but not in any way that suggests we endorsed you or your use in any non-commercial purposes. If you like Geek Tank, consider supporting us at patreon.com/foxblade. Thank you.